I didn't really finish making all the announcements a while ago. One, two. One, two. One, two. One, two. One, two. I know it. I figured that out. Try this. One, two. One, two. Coming on now. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 12. I didn't really make announcements a minute ago, so right quickly, don't forget now, we're going visiting Saturday morning, and I'll be in Virginia, so y'all got to, we got to make up the slack. Everybody that can, will. We need you here to visit for, to go help with the bus workers Saturday morning. They would really appreciate it. It'd really do you good and them good. So I hope that you'll come. And then Sunday morning, Sunday school, don't be late. Come, be here, bring somebody with you. Let's look in Romans 12. Last week, we took a little while.
Great Bible study
on the subject of the will of God. The will of God. I'm not going to preach tonight. We're just going to study this a little bit more and see if it can be a help to you. To me, that was one of the most profitable Bible studies we've had in a long time. How to know the will of God. What is the will of God? How do you figure out the will of God? And one of the hardest things in the Christian life is to really know if you're in God's will or not. You finally just get to the point where you just say, Lord, if I ain't in your will, you're going to have to show me because I don't have enough sense to know if I am half the time or not. And He will. He will. So look here in Romans chapter 12 tonight and look at verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we got into some real good discussion last week about the will of God, and I want to recap that just a little bit, and then we'll go on from here. So I'm not going to preach, so you're welcome to help me out here. And if you know something I don't know, tell me about it. If you know something I need to mention, you feel free to do it. Okay? I'm going to tell you a couple things this today. And last week, Sean brought up a question. And ever since we left after I answered that, I got to thinking about that on the way home. And I said, when you're trying to figure out God's will for your life, you can't always go by a sign. You know, we're bad for that. When we're too lazy to pray and fast about it, we just ask God for a sign. And usually when you ask God for a sign, you've got it slanted in the direction that you want it to go. For example, I gave the illustration. Now, Lord, He said everybody give $100 tonight that felt led. If you want me to give $100 tonight, let two green camels come down the aisle right now. See, that's asking for a sign. Well, I mean, you know that ain't going to happen. You know it ain't going to happen. So you see, when we ask, you got to be careful about asking them signs. Because what you do is you slant it to your advantage. If you're really going to ask a sign, ask it the other way. Lord, if you don't want me to give $100, let a pink elephant walk down the aisle. See, let it slant it your way. But the truth is, most of the time when we ask for a sign, we just don't want to pray something through. I've done it many, many, many times. Many, many times. How many of you ever done this? You've heard me give this illustration before. How many of you ever just said, Lord, I'm confused. What do you want me to do? Just show me. And you know, go by whatever it says. Anybody ever done that? Raise your hand. Okay. We've all done that. I have. And I'll admit to you, I still do that once in a while. Lord, just speak to me. Speak. And I'm not saying He couldn't do that. I'm not saying He wouldn't do that. Don't get me wrong. But you can't always go by that. You can't always go by stuff like that. You can't always go by signs. You know, the classic illustration is the guy who gets his Bible and he said, God, I pray, God, you just show me what you want me to do. Lord, just show me anything. What do you want me to do? And he goes like that and he looked down and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, No, Lord, I must have missed it there, Lord. Show me something else. And he put his finger down on another verse and said, go and do thou likewise. No, Lord, I can't do that, I can't do that. And he looks at another verse and says, what thou doest, do quickly. He said, I ain't going to ask him no more. And have you ever asked the Lord for a verse of Scripture and you look at one and it just cuts you right in the gut? Yeah, okay. But He'll do it. And sometimes, whatever you're going through or whatever your sin is or whatever, sometimes you'll just open the Bible and there it is, boy, like looking in a mirror. But you can't always go by that. You cannot always... The Bible is not a spiritual Ouija board. The Bible is not a magic... It's not a magic book. It's the Word of God. You don't supposed to... It's not like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You know, to which Scripture shall I go? It's over here. It's over there. And that's the way you're supposed to do the Bible. You're supposed to... If you live in that book... Said old J. Frank Norris one time. He's a great preacher, and y'all ought to know about J. Frank Norris. You don't hear nothing about him because everybody hated him. But J. Frank Norris is the granddaddy of the Independent Baptist movement in America. He's one of the men who absolutely pushed this thing into the great Independent Baptist churches started back when they split with the Southern Baptist many years ago, back in the 40s and 50s, back in there. And old J. Frank Norris, he announced one time, he said, I'm going to teach all the preachers how to preach, how to study 5 minutes and preach a 45-minute sermon. That's great. And he said that place was packed out full. He announced, Saturday morning at such and such o'clock, I'm going to teach all the preachers in the area how you can study 5 minutes and preach a 45-minute sermon that's absolutely wonderful and keeps people's attention. Well, every preacher in town showed up. And they called their friends, and they called their friends. That place was full of preachers early on Saturday morning. And old Dr. Norris got up. He said, all right, I announced that I was going to tell you how to preach a 45-minute great sermon, and you only have to study 5 minutes. And he said, you bunch of sorry, good-for-nothing, lazy devils. He said, "What you come out here trying to find an easy way out. He said, I'll tell you how that you can preach a long, good, great sermon and study 5 minutes. He said, you live and breathe and walk in that book for 40 years. Like I have. And he said, then you don't have to study all that just to get something ready. And he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. Brother, you don't just live for the world, the devil, and live wicked all week and then just pop up and say, Lord, show me your will. It comes out of a lifestyle. It's not this hit and miss sort of thing. Well, I went to the altar and got right, so he's obligated to show me his will. No, he's not. It's an outflow of a lifestyle that you live. I don't usually trust my judgment when I'm trying to make decisions if I ain't been really, really living as close. I mean, you know, really, really trying to seek God and fast and pray. And it's a dangerous thing. So you can't trust signs. You can't trust, Miss Shelley brought it up last week about a confirmation. How many of you have ever heard it taught or preached that if God's leading you to do something, somebody will have a word of confirmation? Like, let's just say you're going to buy a new Ford, and you're praying about buying a new Ford. And somebody in the church walks up and said, boy, I seen the prettiest new Ford the other day. Most times you think, oh, that's God showing me to go ahead and get that car. Now, it might be. It might be. But it might be just a coincidence. Amen? Now, you know that. You know if you go back and that car's gone, something you missed it somewhere. You were the Lord or something missed it. So you can't. Now, on the other hand, I do believe in some kind, sometimes there's confirmation. I'll give you an illustration. A few Sundays ago, I think it was Easter Sunday or the Sunday before that, the day I preached on what will you do with Jesus? And I preached on the four men, Judas, and Peter and the Pilate and the centurion. I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, I just don't know if I feel right about this. Maybe I should go with something else. I didn't have a real feeling of peace in my heart. I'll say that more about that in a minute. And I thought, I was nervous about preaching that sermon. And Brother Jason got up here and they sang that song. I forget which song it was. Remember that? When I said he was right on the money? And to me, it felt like the Lord was just saying, it's okay. You go ahead. You're right and well. Now, sometimes that happens. I've seen before the whole service just flow, fit together. Testimony, song, and nobody knew what I was going to preach on. And it's like that. So I'm not saying that don't happen. I believe it does happen. I've seen it happen too many times for it to be an accident. I've seen it happen too many times. I I couldn't tell you the times that I've had a sermon ready, going to preach somewhere, and then a thought be on my mind, heavy, saying, like, preach on heaven, preach on heaven, preach on heaven, preach on heaven. And I went ahead and done it, and the glory came down, and God bless. I believe in that kind of stuff. But you can't always go by that word of confirmation. You know how you know? Because you might have somebody confirm it one way and somebody else confirm it the other way. So you can't always go by that. I mentioned peace. You can't always go by peace. People say, well, I prayed about it and I got peace. You can't always go by that. The devil can give you a false peace. You might have peace because that's what you really want to do. I've had to do God's will sometime and I knew it was right and I didn't have no peace. And then other times, you just, like preaching, you just feel like, okay, I got it. Like the addiction message I had at the youth rally, I thought, man, I've got it. I know I've got it. I'm not saying you can't, that don't ever happen. Sometimes God does give us peace. There's a verse of Scripture said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So God does give us peace when we're living right. But you can be deceived. So she asked the question, if you can't go by peace, and you can't go by signs, and you can't go by confirmation, how do you know the will of God? And what you go by is faith. Faith. Deep, deep down in your heart, you say, I believe God wants me to do this. And the hard part is when you really don't even know what He wants you to do. I think the hardest decision, what's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life? Getting saved. That is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is getting saved. Now, you don't have to pray about getting saved. You don't have to have a word of confirmation. You don't have to. It's your turn. It's your time. God wants you to get saved. If you're not saved here tonight, God wants you to get saved tonight. I've heard preachers get up and say, well, it might not be your night. God might not be. Let me tell you something. It's blasphemy to say God wants somebody to live in sin a little bit longer. That's wicked. God wants you to get saved tonight. Do you understand that? He wants you to get saved right now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't you listen to these preachers say, well, it might not be my time. Your time is always ready. It's your time right now to get saved. We don't have no problem with that. The second biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is getting married. And I'm going to tell you, that getting married ain't like nothing else. If you buy a car and decide you don't like it, you can trade it or sell it. You can't do your husband. Well, I mean, they do it, but you're not supposed to. You sell your husband. A fellow said he's got 40, he swapped her off for 220s. That ain't right. Ain't right. So getting married, I'm telling all you young people, you better. You say, well, Brother Danny, we're in love. Just because you love somebody don't mean you're supposed to marry them. You know, you can fall in love with the wrong person. Boy, I got some amens on that. These people know. Amen. I said you can fall in love with the wrong person. Some of us have been there and done that, all that kind of stuff. You can. So, what'd you say? More than once the same one? Or a different one? Listen, if you're dumb enough to fall in love twice with the same one, you deserve whatever you get. Nah, I know. I'm just kidding. Somebody told me the other day, they said they want to get married. Who was that got married? Oh, y'all don't know them. There's a couple up in Marion. They called me and they said, will you come do our wedding? And I said, well, we'll sit down and talk about it. I went and sat down and talked about it. And they said, now, we've married once before. I said, okay. They said, to each other. I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, what happened? And they said, well, you know, he's on drugs, and the DSS got our kids, and you know, now a bunch of messed up. But we got all that fixed now, and we're in love, and we want to get married again. So they've been shacking up for 10 years with their ex. I don't know about how that's supposed to happen. Well, that's a mess. You got baby Mary and get into that kind of stuff. Huh? Yeah, they might have. I'll tell you who it was that servant. But anyway, I said, that's fine. I said, y'all going to be together. That's what you need to do to get married, right? God don't want people to shack up. If you're going to live together, you need to get married or get away from each other. And So I said, all right. And I said, but listen, I'll just tell you. I said, I've seen this. I've seen people try this about 3 times. And every time I've ever seen people get married that, you know, that used to be married before and got divorced, it never worked. Whatever messed you up first time usually gets you the second time. And they said, but we were young and we got on drugs and now we're off drugs. And I said, okay, hallelujah, let's go for it. And so we did it. But anyway, whatever. It's a statistic that 65% of all marriages end in divorce, but not 65% of the people. You understand? Okay, let me explain that. There's a bigger percentage of people stay together than that. But these 65% is the same ones getting divorced over and over and over, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times. So 60% of marriages fail. Not necessarily 65% of people. You understand now? Right. Because it's God's will for you too. 90%. Paul said, not always, about 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. He said, it is not good. And God made us for that. And you're right. You're right. I mean, I'm not married. Look at me. But I ain't fussing at you. I ain't fussing at you. Man, I like... Let me tell you what I did the other night. I'm sure you do. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh boy, here comes something juicy. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, turned the light on. I woke up, couldn't sleep. 3 o'clock in the morning, turned the light on. Went up there, turned the iron on in my closet, turned the preaching on, turned the TV on to see the weather, started making radio tapes, cleaned up my bedroom at 3:30 in the morning. Worked 3 hours. Now you try that if you're married. You'll get shot. Turn that light out! Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but, you know, it ain't all bad being basic. Not always. It ain't all bad. You spend your money where you want to spend it. You don't ain't have no fussing about it. You can eat Doritos and go to sleep. You don't have to worry about your breath stinking. But it's got problems. So what you do when you're getting married, you're swapping one set of problems for another set of problems. You're solving some and making more. Others, that's all you're doing. There's no such thing as a life without problems. Everybody's got them. These movie stars, everything, they got, look at them. They, in a few years, they're miserable. But I don't know how I got off on all that, but God does want 90% of people, probably 95%, to be married. Paul said, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, every woman have her own husband. That's what he said. And he meant that. But, he said, I wish that all men would abide as me. And so if God's give you that ability, right, then hallelujah, go for it. But I'm just saying, the biggest decision you ever made besides getting saved is getting married. Because you don't get out of it. Like, you ain't supposed to ever get out of it. Divorce ain't supposed to be an option for Christians. It don't supposed to enter our thinking. It don't enter the equation. When I marriage counsel, I always say, here's what we need to do. We will accept no solution to this problem but a Bible solution. We ain't the world. This ain't Hollywood. We believe the Bible has answered all our problems. So if we accept a Bible answer to our problems, we can solve them. But anyway, you better get that worked out before you get married, because you can sure get yourself into a mess. Just because you love somebody, just because you're attracted to somebody, just because you feel something when you're around them, that is not a reason to get married. Because most of that stuff dies out. And then it's settled down to diapers and clothes in the floor and bills to pay and daily life. That's what you better think about. Amen. Preach it, brother. That ain't the way Hollywood presents it. But look at their track record. Anybody want to say anything about that right quick? I think the answer to that is what I said a minute ago. years of walking with God and praying and seeing Him answer your prayer and watching Him work in church and seeing little things here and there. Years of, and He just confirms it. He confirms it somehow or another. That's what He's done to me. I know the Lord's real. I know He is. I know He's answered my prayer. But it ain't because I was told that when I got, you know, well, you're in the right church, so this is what you need to believe. I know it for real. And my greatest desire would be for y'all, for every one of y'all to find that out for you. Not just because Brother Danny said it and you believe me. Find out God's real for you on your own. That's what you need. You're a recovering cusser. That's what you say. Yeah. Like going to that ball game last Saturday and cussing out the umpire. That probably wasn't God's will. Well, what you're saying is the flesh usually don't like to do what's right. Usually. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Right, right. God give you that to do. Yeah, well, you might, sometimes you just get backslid. And you just, I didn't say you was. Cussing out umpires at ball game. I'm just messing with you. But see, what's saying is, if you're doing it just because of obligation and I got to do this because it's right, you will get to where you have. And I can tell you the same thing true about preaching. I've been preaching since I was 19. I preach every Sunday morning. So I got to preach 14 times in the next 12 nights. Do I always want to do that? No, but I pray and try to read about it till I get the victory. Till I think, man, I'm ready to go. I can't imagine not doing it. I can't imagine getting burnt out preaching every night. I can't imagine that. I can't even understand that kind of thinking. That's true. That's true. You're right. I agree with that, bro. Yeah, yeah. If I was a bus worker and I was really thought, oh gosh, I wish I'd never even started this or anything, what I'd do is I'd fast about it and I'd get me a bunch of preaching tapes. And Jack, Mr. T can get you some and hear a bunch of preaching on it and practice one night until that desire comes back. It's a lot more fun when you want to do it. He don't want you to quit something unless He's got something for you, though. I just can't see the Lord saying, quit that because you don't like it. You just need a revival. That's all you need. A revival. Make you love it. Go ahead, bro. We'll talk about discouraging. How do you think I feel? That one's empty. That one's empty. That one's empty. That one's empty. Man, that can rip. And I get up here and I'll preach my head off and y'all just sit there. Nobody amens. Nobody shout. But see, I'm not doing it for you. You've got to remember, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord. If nobody gets on that bus, I'm doing it for Him. I don't know how we got off on all that about the will of God, but like sometimes, man, I preached, buddy, when it was, a lost man could preach. People shouting and running out, and then other times it feels like there's a thick glass about that thick in between me and y'all, and I'm just beating my head on it. And you can't even hear what I'm saying or something. It's like a barrier. And, I mean, you want to talk about getting discouraged? Did you know none of y'all ever asked me to go take me to your out to eat or buy my supper or ask me to come to your house? Ever. Now, you used to have an excuse. Lord, He's got all them girls, and there's their boyfriend. There'd be nine of them. Well, they're all grown and married. I'm just messing with you. He did offer to, and I couldn't go. Yeah, she did offer to me Saturday, and I couldn't go. But I'm not saying I want to. I don't even want to come to your house. But I'm just saying this. Really, I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, if I sat around and thought about stuff like that, and I sat around and thought, well, you know, they've never done, you know. And the devil will start telling you, nobody appreciates you. Nobody. And then you got to come back to, well, bless God, I ain't doing this so that I can get invited out to eat. I'm doing this for the glory of God because I know the Lord called me to. I don't care if your hair lips your grandma. We're going to do it. Amen? And that's the attitude you got to have once you figure out what God wants you to do. Please don't invite me out to eat. I'm fasting. But I'll eat tonight late. But go ahead.
One thing the preacher said was she said that you really don't know that there's a God, but she chooses to believe that there's a God. Then we had a Sunday school teacher one time in a Southern Baptist church who said that it is wrong to say you know that you're saved because really you don't know, you choose to believe it by faith.
Paul said he knew. Peter said he knew. John said he knows. He said, we know that we have eternal life. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. So it's just, I guess the definition of their word might be a little bit different. But scripturally, that ain't right. Scripturally, if we believe the Bible, we know we're saved because the Bible says we are. And we don't just choose to believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. There's evidence. There's a reason I believe the Bible. I have a reason I believe the Bible. I got a whole sermon I preach on it. I believe it. Number one, because of what it does in my life. I believe it because it stood the test of time. And I believe it because it predicts the future and gets it right. Every time. And ain't no other book in the world does that. So if the Bible says I'm saved, if I trust Christ, I can say I know I'm saved. Now I know what they're saying. They're saying, well, you don't really know, you just think. But Paul said he knew. And John said he knew. He said, we know that we've passed from death into life. But you say that on the authority of the book. Not because of your feelings or... And that woman, she's a preacher and she says she don't even know if there's a God. So a guy comes up and he says, well, should I accept your religion? Is there a God? She says, well, I don't know. There might be. So, who would want to receive her religion?
Her church was over 2,000 members.
Woo! 2,000 members sitting there listening to somebody that don't even know if there's a God. They must have had a pretty building. What a, isn't that a mess? All right, I'm sorry, we got off track here a little bit. Go ahead, Brother Mike. Amen.
Go ahead, man.
You can see the Lord working if you'll look and be observant, but it's not always, but you just learn over the years. You know what? I made a lot of decisions in my ministry, like, you know, we started at youth camp years ago and everything, and those people thought I was crazy. Those people thought, I've lost your mind, or going to that. And I look back now, I was right on target. I was scared then. But I look back now and say, man, I was right. So I'm trusting the same Lord now that my decisions are right. So when I get on down the road, I say, well, I was right then too. But you're scared when you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're scared when you're doing it.
Most of the time, if you listen, you can hear. You know, if I was still a small boy,
yeah. And Brother Jason, we're about done, but Brother Jason brought out a point last week I thought was real good. He said, sometimes God don't have a perfect, exact will. I think Mike said it too, for you. It's like every single time you put your hand down. You know what I'm saying? Now, the Bible does say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It does say that. But sometimes God will leave stuff up to you. It's not like you either do this, or you're out of my will. Sometimes he'll let you make decisions, and he'll bless you with you, like buying a house or a car, or maybe making some decision like that where there's no scripture either way. There's no scripture that says do it. There's no scripture that says don't do it. It's a business decision or an investment or something like that. It's not right or wrong. Sometimes God will just say, do whatever you want to, and I'll bless you either way. He did Abraham like that. He did some of the other men like that. So don't feel pressured every time you move. Am I in God's will? Am I out of God's will? Am I in God's will? You'll go crazy. This lady back here in the back had her. Amen. Yeah. Tell you a little story right quick and I'll get y'all. Lady stood right here, some of y'all are familiar with this, stood right here one Sunday morning and cried her eyes out and was flipping out. And one of the other ladies called and said, Brother Danny, you're going to have to talk to her. I said, what's wrong? She says, I'm supposed to go to work this evening. This happened last year sometime. She said, I just feel like something awful is going to happen if I go to work. She said, I feel like something terrible is going to happen to my husband or my kid or something. I forgot what it was. But anyway, somebody's going to die if I go to work today. And she had to leave and go off on a trip. And she said, I feel like somebody's going to die if I go. Should I stay? Should I stay, Brother Danny? I feel it's strong that somebody's going to die. And I said, nope, go on to work. And in my heart, I thought, boy, you tell her that and it really does happen, you're going to be in trouble. But I believe that. I said, you do what you had planned to do. I said, you go on to work. And she got a hold of herself. She's crying out there in the parking lot. And she went on to work, come back the next day, and nothing happened. If she'd have stayed out of work, she could have lost her job, and nothing didn't happen. So these weird feelings that come over you sometime, like, here's what will happen to y'all. You'll have this weird feeling come over you and say, you know what? Nobody likes you at this church. You should go to another church. You better watch that kind of stuff. That's demons talking to you. The Holy Spirit don't do that. Holy Spirit don't talk like that. He's a gentleman And he leads you in different ways. He opens door and close. That is the Lord. But people, and especially ladies, if you don't have a husband or a father, I'm not saying women are more susceptible to listening. I'm not saying that. I'm saying women go more by their feelings than men normally go by the rational. You know, men are more logic. They just think, you know how dead and dull and boring men are. And women, did that help me out a little bit? And women are more, you know, sort of like I feel. I just feel. I just feel bad about that. I just feel that. You can't trust that stuff. Sometimes, maybe, but not all the time. That woman was wrong. She was wrong. Jack Hyle said, that lady back here said her husband, I know the exact feeling. Sometimes you get this weird feeling that I'm preaching the wrong sermon. I'm out of God's will. And it's a counterfeit spirit. Yeah. Jack Hyle said, go with what you had planned. Yeah. If you plan it, go with your plan. Unless God just completely, it's obvious that He wants you to do something else. Oh, yeah. You got to watch them spirits, man. The Bible said in the last days people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. The devil will talk to you. He will talk to you. Go ahead, Miss Jane.
I don't know what kind of it is for someone or how you were in your places, but I was sitting at home, I think it was yesterday or day before, and just got home and stuff ready for the morning. We were sitting there talking, and out of nowhere, I've been letting a lot of things, little things bother me, holding on to a little thing from the past recently.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can tell y'all do, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not thine own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I've claimed that 1,000 times. Lord, I don't know a bit more what I'm doing than man to moon, but I'm trusting You to direct my path. Brian? Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why the Lord... I'm sorry, was you?
The Bible says that, you know, the anger of God is going to be a thing. The anger of God is going to be a thing. He has emotions for a child, just like
music. Yeah.
Just like the obedience to another person. He's our Father.
Amen.
That's
good.
We knew that,
you know,
when we were kids,
my dad's
going to be
God. Amen. Get to know Him. And you get to know Him through His Word. And by living for Him, by living day after day. That's why the Lord said for a pastor not to be a novice, not as a young, a newly born Christian, because it takes years. It takes years sometimes to settle down and know the voice of God and know the right thing and know you're into a lot of emotion stuff when you first get saved. I believe there's a lot of men, and I don't have nobody in mind when I say this, but I believe there's a lot of men who are out trying to pastor churches right now that have no business trying to pastor a church. They ought to be working in a good church. So I believe there's men trying to preach and be missionaries that would be much better off, because they got a business head, making lots of money and supporting missionaries. But they maybe felt something or felt a burden and thought, God wants me to go to China. I don't. That's my opinion. I couldn't. I'm not judging nobody. I really believe that. If man's called to preach, there's going to be some preach on him. Well, he might learn something out of a book, but he don't learn how to pastor no church out of a book. You don't learn how to pastor out of a book. You learn it the school of hard knocks and by dealing with people. It's experience, you know, is the best teacher. All right, we're going to stop right there now. I hope this has confused you even more than you was. No, I don't. I hope you'll pray about them decisions and be led of the Lord. We're going to